Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
New leadership for the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. A major push by the Labor Department to get young people in poor communities involved in the trades. And today on the show, the latest from the Heat and Frost Insulators and the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. Welcome to the Wednesday, November 24th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on six platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and the platform known as Stitcher. Mr. Pete Almini will be our first guest on the show. Longtime contributor, comes to us from the Heat and Frost Insulators, LMCT. That's the Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Website is Mechanical Insulators, LMCT.com. And Pete's going to reflect on Apprenticeship Week being last week, and with the passing of the bipartisan infrastructure bill the week before, this is a pretty good time to talk about apprenticeship opportunities. So we have touched on this before. We're going to zero in on one industry, obviously the mechanical insulation industry, which, by the way, is in high demand for qualified workers to, and the key word here, properly install the insulation technologies to increase the energy efficiency of our building's energy usage. And what's the result of this? We reduce harmful greenhouse gas emissions. Save energy, save the planet. That's the bottom line. So we'll get into what the apprenticeship program is, if you want to become a heat and frost insulator. Do you have to be in a union to attend such a program? Can you get this type of quality training anywhere? College, trade schools. We'll talk about pay. We'll talk about benefits, qualifications, professional code of construction conduct. After you complete the program, the apprenticeship program, what happens next? Career paths after a journeyman. Can you become a contractor, an engineer, an inspector? Actually, you can do just about anything once you have the skills. So Pete Almini will be our first guest. He's so articulate on this issue. And I'll tell you, this is pretty significant because we touched on this when we had Greg Rivard on the show a couple weeks back. Now, Greg is the president of the Heat and Frost Insulators. And because of Greg's lobbying, they were able to include tax credits in Biden's Build Back Better framework. Hats off to the unions. Speaking loud and proud and making sure you pave the way for more people to enter that profession. Mike Dolan, on behalf of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, will be joining us later in the show. Mike wears two hats. He's with the Teamsters, longtime Teamsters. He is also on the board of the Coalition for a Prosperous America, prosperousamerica.org. We've had a number of their writers on the show. This is an organization, I believe they have about 4 million members and represent a lot of small businesses, and obviously with Mike being on the board, you got a labor component, but they're just sick and tired of all the trade deals that have happened in America in the last 30, 40 years. And they want those jobs to come back. Don't we all? We want them to come back. Make America strong again. So we're going to touch on the infrastructure package. We're also going to get into the supply chain, and the Teamsters are very, very vocal on this because out on the West Coast, we got the port drivers, and the port drivers are pretty much independent contractors. If you're an independent contractor, you're not going to wait and not make money. That's why there's such a bottleneck over there. So we'll touch on that. And apparently the Buy American provision in some of the legislation, the infrastructure legislation, it's always always important that we buy American. So Mike Dolan will be our second guest right here on the show. Speaking of the Teamsters, big change in leadership coming in March of next year. Reformer Sean O'Brien has declared victory in the race to become the next president of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters after his Hoffa-backed rival conceded on Friday. As Bloomberg News reports, although the election results will not be certified until next month, O'Brien, a fourth-generation Teamster and head of a Boston local, was up nearly 2-1 with more than 90% of the votes counted and is expected to take the reins of the roughly 1.4 million member strong union in a rare defeat for incumbent leadership. From the outset, O'Brien's candidacy was considered a referendum on the leadership of James P. Hoffa, whom O'Brien criticized for being too quick to concede in several high-stakes contract negotiations, especially the recent contract with UPS. Additionally, O'Brien announced his intent to mount an aggressive push to unionize Amazon workers, saying that the union's recently approved plan to supply all resources necessary to unionize Amazon workers should have been in place 10 years ago. David Whitwer, professor at Penn State, relayed the rarity of this election, noting that since the Teamsters' official founding, we're going back to 1903, there have been only two national union elections that have seen an outside reformer candidate win election as president. That is pretty significant. And in my opinion, this is a sign of the times. Workers are ready to rock and roll. How many strikes are going on in America right now? How many contracts were voted down? John Deere workers, it took three. Kellogg's workers, still on strike. Different attitude in America today, and obviously that's been reflected here with the Teamsters. Good news here from the Labor Department. The U.S. Department of Labor announced this week funding opportunities, and I'm talking $90 million in grants to support academic skills training and pre-apprenticeship services. And the target? Disadvantaged 16 to 24-year-olds. This is monumental. Historically, high school students in the nation's poorest neighborhoods have faced barriers to an education equal to those in the wealthiest neighborhoods. We know that. It's been going on for decades. Well, in the past year, closures and virtual learning forced by the pandemic, are deepening this inequality, says the Labor Department, and are likely to hurt disadvantaged students' future earning potential. And they've got data on this from Yale University. You would think when Yale studies something like this, they would know what they're talking about. Well, to help combat this disparity, the department announced a funding opportunity, again, $90 million. It's called a Youth Build Program. It's going to come in the form of grants to provide occupational skills training, employment services, and educational support to disadvantaged youths aged 16 to 24. This will be in communities where inequalities hinder basic academic and career skills development. The funds will also provide pre-apprenticeship services for in-demand industries. That includes construction, healthcare, information technology, and hospitality. All those fields, all of them, need workers today. Today. Administered by the Department's Employment and Training Administration, these grants will fund approximately 75 projects nationwide, with individual grants ranging anywhere from $700,000 to $1.5 million. The opportunity follows the department's guidance that came out earlier this year that prioritizes quality jobs, green building, and community violence intervention. It's called the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, which supports these grants. In the past, these grants have enabled youth participants to support initiatives like some of them. I got three in front of me right now. This is out of West Virginia, helping Davis Memorial Hospital, one of the largest employers in the rural area, find skilled workers. The Youth Build Elkins program, they call it, provides an entry point to develop skills, work experience, and credentials recognized by the hospital and creates a pipeline to employment. Now, in Oregon, they have what's called the Portland Youth Builders Program, which operates a longstanding urban charter school, providing participants with up to 24 months of active programming and then 12 months of follow-up. Now, that program works with the local American Job Center and the city's housing authority directly and focuses on new apprenticeship initiatives, primarily in information technology. And over in Denver, programs called Rise Up. This is a what they call a youth build charter school. Denver Health, a major employer partner, provides an on-the-job training component of the Mile High Youth Build Healthcare Program and sees the partnership as critical to growing the hospital's trained workforce. Hats off to Marty Walsh and the team at the U.S. Labor Department finding a way to connect so many young people to good-paying, career-building jobs, pathway to the middle class. And it's beyond construction. Obviously, we like to focus on the trades, but there's so many opportunities. That last report, I believe there's like 11 million job openings right now. And a lot of people are very, very picky about where they want to go, where they want to land. And like I said many, many times on this show, this pandemic has changed everything. Everything. It's changed employers. It's changed employees. And it's changed the way we connect with employers and employees. So we'll see what happens here with this Labor Department program. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Pete Almini on behalf of the Heat and Frost Insulators.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
To Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency, trying to connect people with employment, doing a pretty good job. You can find more at ulagency.org. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars, my guy from New Jersey. That would be Pete Almini on behalf of the Heat and Frost Insulators, LMCT. That stands for Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Last week was National Apprenticeship Week. There were like 800 events happening in the country. And Pete wanted to pick up on that and talk about the Heat and Frost Insulators. Mr. Pete Almini, welcome back to the show. How are we doing today, brother?
Hey, how you doing today? And happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Any big plans for this weekend, Pete?
Nothing special, just a lot of dinners with our families, and it's a big football weekend, college weekend, a lot of college football and professional, and a couple pickup games, and a lot of eating, a lot of dinners, and a lot to be thankful for.
There you go. Family, friends, and football. That's what it's all about. All right.
That's right.
Let's talk about the mechanical insulation industry. You and I have had many, many discussions on this, and let's zero in on this because there's a lot of work out there, a lot of work, and more work's going to be coming because of this infrastructure bill. So we have to prepare pretty much the next generation here to get involved in this line of work because you're going to make some good money, great benefits, great pensions. I mean, I could go on and on and on. So talk to me about how someone becomes a highly trained mechanical insulator. Let's get into that. And maybe you should just refresh our listeners what the job entails. Pete, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Sure. Thank you, Flash. And you're exactly correct. And without getting political on this segment, though, it is important to discuss that Congress passed the bipartisan infrastructure bill, and the largest of its kind, and it's something that our country needs to be able to build and maintain and reconstruct our roads and our bridges, the buildings. There was so much infrastructure, building, construction is going to be happening in the next 10, 20, 30 years. It's going to be incredible. And I thank the government for being able to pass such legislation. It's going to open up the opportunities. And with Apprenticeship Week being last week and bringing attention to it, I just cannot not talk about this. And the insulation world, the mechanical insulation, and energy efficiency is going to play a big role in the next 50 years. It has been for the last several decades, and it's going to increase with all of this infrastructure, with all of this energy conservation that we're going to be undertaking and developing new sources of energy. The sky is the limit as far as what we can do with energy efficiency. Insulation, mechanical insulation, that's going to be right in the middle of all of this work that we're going to be undertaking. But we need to generate a workforce that's going to carry on. And the apprenticeship is the best way to be able to get involved in it. For those viewers that do not know what an apprenticeship program is, it's a training program of the skilled crafts. Skilled crafts meaning the building trades. There's 14 of building crafts. The insulators are one of them. And an apprenticeship program is a balance between classroom instruction as well as in the field, hands-on, working with seasoned mechanics, journeymen, and be able to learn the craft. And as long as history's been written, that is and has been and will be the best way to learn a physical craft is by doing it, by working with professionals and seeing how it is done. And the classroom are the things that you learn that's not, you don't have the time or the facilities to be able to teach in the field and learn. It's a lot of math, a lot of theory, blueprint reading, instructional training. And the balance between the classroom and the field experience is immense. And to be able to get into the union that offers benefits as well as good pay is something you're not going to find elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to talk about good pay, and definitely a good salary is able to put food on the table and a roof over your head and be able to buy the things that you need to be in the middle class. And especially younger people, they look at salaries as they should, as far as what you're looking for in a career. But as we all get older, we also realize and appreciate the things that are you don't see in the salary, and that's your benefits. That's your health care coverage, which is probably one of the biggest, single most important thing in a career, is how do you afford health care coverage for yourself and also for your family or your potential family. And then you also have retirement plans. Nobody thinks about retiring when they are a young man or a young woman. But one of the most advantageous things to be involved in the union, from day one that you work in the union, the union is preparing you for retirement. And you put a little bit away each and every day, each and every hour that you work. And you kind of like forget about it. But when you start hitting the your late 50s or even your mid 50s, you know, you start looking about what's going to be my next step.
Right.
Where am I going to be when I'm 60? Where am I going to be when I'm 65? And because of the great programs that our unions have and have been fought for over 100 years, there's going to be a point in somebody's career where you'll make just as much money and maintain your benefits because of the contributions that you made when you retire. You know, you're going to be looking at yourself, looking at the numbers, saying, you know what? Hey, I can stay home, spend time with my family, and make as much money as if I was working.
Isn't that great?
But it does take many years to be able to get to that point.
Sure, sure. Pete, if you don't mind, let's get into the mechanics of the apprenticeship program. And from what you've been describing to me, it sounds like it's like going to college pretty much. I know the technology has changed. You referenced math skills. Can you get into that and maybe give us some clarity? I know there's a lot of people listening. We have a national audience here. They're probably wondering, boy, this sounds pretty intricate for me. And obviously, when it comes to insulation and you talk about energy efficiency, you're going to save the planet. Can we get into that, Pete?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's my wheelhouse. I love to be able to talk about apprenticeship programs versus college. And they're both the same animal. They're both considered post-secondary education with good reason, because you need a high school diploma to be able to get into an apprenticeship program. But both offer to be able to take your basic skills that you received in high school and grammar school and be able to add on to that. Some of the big differences are the apprenticeship program is a lot more focused to a particular specialized craft or function or job description. In the mechanical insulation world, it's a four-year program. Could be 5 years, similar to college. Even 30 years ago, it was strictly 4 years of apprenticeship and training. But it, for many reasons, it has expanded to get a better education, sometimes in 5 years. And you know, a lot is very parallel to the way college is. You know, 30 years ago, it was 4 years. Now it's 5 or 6 years to be able to get that same bachelorette degree. Those are very similar. The apprenticeship program is college credit worthy. There are college credits that are available going through the apprenticeship program. I know the mechanical insulators, I went through that vetting process about, 20 years ago. I felt the need for someone to go to an apprenticeship program to receive college credit. Maybe they wanted to take those college credits and go further in a formal education aspect. And I also received, our apprenticeship programs accredited just for the acknowledgement of it. You're right, Flash. People think, and parents seem to think, and especially our culture seems to think. You want to be successful, you have to go to college. And that is the path. And alternatives to college are not expanded that much and that well. I always took exception to that. When I went into high schools and I talked about the advantages of going to an apprenticeship program, I was kind of always pushed aside because of the colleges were given the path to success. And that motivated me to be able to get our apprenticeship programs accredited with college. And if, once I did, then I was able to say, I'm hanging with the colleges. Yes, I get college credit as well. You can come to my apprenticeship program, and you can receive 45 credits toward a bachelorette degree if you wanted to pursue that with an, with another college. And that opened up a lot of discussions and raised a lot of eyebrows. And I was able to raise some eyebrows with parents because they always thought, well, you get into the trades, you know, you're a ditch digger and you're not going to, you know, it doesn't really have that lore, but actually it does. And if college credit is something someone is looking to get involved in or want to expand, well, you can do that in the apprenticeship program. And it has raised a lot of opinions. And usually I love to talk to young people when they're getting indoctrinated about going to college. And by no means do I ever talk anybody out of going to college. I don't talk anybody out of anything. I just want to make sure you understand your opportunities and what is available. And once that, I love to be able to tell people, because it's a fact that 40% of people drop out of college in the first year. And there's a host of reasons why. I just want you to realize that, because if you're one of those 40%, what are you going to do? What's going to be your next step? The entire time you've been in school, in the public school system, you've been drilled into your head, in order for you to be successful, you've got to go to college. And you're going to find out that, you know, maybe college doesn't work. Doesn't mean you're not intelligent. Doesn't mean you're not a hard worker. Doesn't mean you have good values. It just means that sitting in a classroom just didn't accelerate the next level for you. For some people it is, some people it isn't. And these are the people that we want to be able to get into our apprenticeship program. And if you want to work hard, and I'll be honest with you, it's construction. So you're going to get your hands dirty. It's a physical craft. To me, that's very that always welcomed my personality and what I like to be able to do. Sitting behind a desk all day long just was never my forte. But being out in the field, getting my hands dirty. Yep, sometimes I got to deal with the weather. And if you live in a cold part of this country, you know, this is the time of the year it gets a little bit uncomfortable, but you know what, you learn how to dress and you learn how to deal with the cold, and it's not as bad as you think it is. But it's a worthwhile venture to be able to have. And one big thing, and I know it's not always about money, you know, money buys everything, doesn't buy love, but it does buy everything else. You can go to a four-year college, and you can pay anywhere from the cost of that college can be anywhere from $50,000 to $200,000 to $300,000, and either somebody paid it for you, or you got a scholarship, or you got to pay for it for yourself. So when you graduate high school, you're 18 years old. You go to a four-year college. Now you're 22. Now you're going to start your career, and the future is bright. But you're saddled with a bill of, say, $200,000. And for many people, they spend the rest of their career paying it off. Some people are fortunate. They don't have to. But some people do. And there's a stark difference between that of an apprenticeship. What is the cost of getting into an apprenticeship program? Probably very little. Maybe $50, $100, depending upon the application process. But the beautiful thing about an apprenticeship program is that someone's paying you a salary, a good salary, usually a union salary, to be able to learn. And it doesn't cost anything to go to the classroom. It doesn't come out of your pocket. It doesn't cost anything. You're getting paid. And I'll make the comparison again that if you come out of high school, you go into the trades and you're 22 years old and the typical apprenticeship program is 4 years. Now you're making your salary now could be anywhere depending upon the part of the country that you're in. Your salary could be $80,000, could be $100,000, could be $120,000 with full benefits and a pension, and you're 22 years old. You put those numbers, compare that to someone coming out of college, it's an incredible difference. And for those people that understand that and take advantage of what an apprenticeship program can offer, it works out well for them. It really does. And I am living proof. I've been in both worlds. When I graduated high school, I too was indoctrinated with the brainwashing. To be successful, you have to go to college. And I did go to college. Mm-hmm. I went to college for engineering. And when I got out of college, I had the opportunity to get involved in my union, mechanical insulators, Local 32, Newark, New Jersey. And it's something I never regretted, and I never looked back. And definitely my college education has helped me in other aspects. But as far as the best career I can ever have, it all relates back to my option to go into an apprenticeship program and be a union member of the mechanical insulators.
Life-changing, no doubt about it. You want to get some more information on mechanical insulation, just go to the national website, insulators.org, insulators.org. We're being joined by Pete Almini, one of our monthly featured guests on the show. He comes to us from the Heat and Frost Insulators, LMCT, Mechanical Insulators, LMCT. .com is their website. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Mike Dolan will be joining us later in the show, and he's going to be talking on behalf of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Nurses, doctors, and caregivers at the VA are under attack. They face hostile management, callous agency heads, and an administration that's stomping all over their ability to speak up for our veterans. Unions are even being kicked out of their offices, a direct attempt to silence the voice of VA employees. When VA workers are under attack, veterans pay the price. Costly privatization and outsourcing will run rampant, meaning fewer services and worse quality of care for our nation's heroes. It's time to stand up for the workers who care for our veterans. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
Hey, don't forget, we're available on 6 platforms now. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And when you get an opportunity, just sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis. Give us a rating. We always like those 5-star ratings. Let's go back to our live line, wrap up things with Pete Almini on behalf of the Heat and Frost Insulators, longtime sponsors of America's Workforce, Mechanical Insulators, LM. CT.com, that's one website, and then insulators.org. We're talking about getting a career as a heat and frost insulators, and especially now with this infrastructure bill and perhaps the passage of the Build Back Better bill, there's going to be huge opportunities for mechanical insulation. You can get all the details on that insulator's website. Pete, I got one question for you. What's the biggest challenge? The biggest challenge you see in the in this industry and moving forward? I'm real curious on your answer on this. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm glad you asked that question because that's one thing I deal with every single day. The biggest challenge that we have in the mechanical insulation industry is for people to realize the importance of what we do, realize and understand the value of mechanical of insulation, to value and appreciate the engineered science of mechanical insulation. It's not known by most people. It is, whether we were talking about educators, we were talking about young adults trying to choose a career path, which is very true. I'm also talking about the business, the engineering, architectural world, government, legislation. You know, there's government grants to build new type of energy facilities, but there's very few government opportunities available, government grants available to install mechanical insulation, which hands down is going to save energy. It's going to save the cost. It's going to reduce the carbon emission into the atmosphere. The problem is we have to educate people to be able to understand that and value that. The technology of mechanical insulation is improving, but we have to have it be applied. You know, one of the quick examples I can make, whether it be new construction or even whether it's maintenance, you walk into a room, you hit a light switch, the lights don't go on. You don't have to be an electrician to realize, hey, you got an electrical problem here. Either there's a short, there's a wire loose, the bulb was burnt out. It could be something simple, it could be complex. But if the lights don't go on, you got an electrical problem. You need someone with an electrical background to be able to address it and fix it. If your pipe leaks, you can actually see water dripping from a pipe, or you turn the faucet on and water doesn't come out, or it doesn't get hot. Again, you don't have to be a plumber to realize you got a plumbing issue. You have to get someone with plumbing experience or a plumber to get it fixed. Your roof leaks. You see water coming into your home or your building. Again, and now you're going to need a roofer, sheet metal workers. On and on it goes. These are the types of crafts that are easily recognized, and you see it every day in everybody's life. Mechanical insulation kind of like lurks in the shadows a little bit. As long as the air conditioning is working, as long as the heat is working, you think everything is fine. You may not be realizing, though, is that air conditioning unit or that boiler or that furnace may be working twice as long and harder as it should be. And it's not efficient, but nobody realizes that. In the meantime, you're wasting a lot of money unnecessarily because the system is probably not insulated correctly. A national study was done with a government grant, and the results were that all U.S. buildings, on the average, is missing anywhere from 10 to 30% of mechanical insulation. So that means we're wasting more energy than we should be. It's costing with the price of fuel. To me, the energy crisis has been with us for 30 years. Of course, with the local headlines now, with cost of everything going up, the cost of fuel is going up. But we're wasting so much by not treating our energy sources correctly by making them energy efficient. So we're wasting energy by not having things insulated properly. And here's the environmental and the climate jobs. Opportunity in the climate and global warming issues that a lot of people want to talk about, including now politicians. The more that furnace is working, the harder it's working, or that boiler, or that air conditioner, or the generation of electricity, it is emitting harmful greenhouse gas emissions into the atmosphere. You know, if we can reduce the use of those, if we can reduce the amount of the energy that's being used, that's going to reduce the amount of carbon released into our atmosphere, which has got to be talked about more. No, we don't have to spend billions and billions of dollars just building windmills and solar panels. I know that's part of our structure moving forward in the future to increase our grid system, and those are carbon emissions, and I realize that's part of our future. But we could be doing a lot right now to reduce the amount of carbon emissions by having those mechanical systems work less. And we're going to, the good way of making them work less is being able to have them work efficiently. And insulation is a big part of that. That's the biggest thing, the biggest challenge that we have in this industry is getting people to realize that and understand that. It's going to reduce carbon emissions, it's going to save energy, it's going to save fuel, and it's going to create jobs. And I hate to use the term, it's a win-win for everybody, but that's overused. But the truth of the matter is, it is true. We're going to be able to generate a workforce to be able to help the climate, help the environment, and help the energy sources by using mechanical insulation to insulate what should already be insulated.
Save energy, help the environment, and create jobs. Doesn't get any better than that when you think about it. Great stuff there, Pete. Great stuff there. Well, let's drive everybody to the website, and there's two of them, insulators.org, insulators.org, and there's a lot of information posted there on the apprenticeship program to become a heat and frost insulators. And for Pete Almini, it's mechanical insulators, lmct.com. Okay, my brother, you take care. Have a great Thanksgiving and a safe one. And we'll be talking in December, okay?
You as well, my friend. Thank you.
Quick break here. Mike Dolan on behalf of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters coming up next.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's L-I-U-N-A.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
Buildings, bridges, skyscrapers, and more. Structures that are the face of our cities and towns were built by members of the Iron Workers Union. That's why it's important that our workforce of over 130,000 iron workers continues to be the safest and best trained in the field. With 154 training centers, we invest over $90 million annually in safety and training. We're growing the next generation of union iron workers. There are so many reasons to put your trust in our iron workers and their employers. Learn more about us at ironworkers.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And you can check us out on Facebook. That would be AWF Union Podcast, which is also our Twitter handle, AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two right now. Welcome back to the show. Haven't had this guy on for a couple of months. His name is Mike Dolan. He's a lobbyist with the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. He's also on the board of the Coalition for a Prosperous America. And we've featured, well, we featured the Teamsters and the CPA many, many times on the show. The CPA has done a bang-up job calling attention to these crazy trade deals and how many jobs have been lost to countries like Vietnam, Mexico, China, Indonesia, India over the years. I mean, literally millions of dollars has been lost out of the American economy. And some of those jobs are coming back, just not enough. Hey, Mike Dolan, welcome back to the show. How are we doing today, brother?
Flash, it's we're doing good. Thanks for having me back. Always a pleasure to join you.
All right, talk to me about the infrastructure, Dill. And you told me something interesting yesterday about the Buy America part, and we've been zeroing in on this for months now, how important it is that, okay, if you're going to rebuild America, you know what? We got products here made by Union Brothers and Sisters that need to be part of that infrastructure. And apparently, there were some key people in Washington that made that happen. Talk to me about that, Mike.
Well, sure thing. Last week, of course, President Biden signed, you know, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. President Hoffa, in fact, was there at the White House for that signing, along with some of our, you know, allies in the labor movement and manufacturing that want to prioritize as a policy matter buying America as we talk about infrastructure, that the investment, the $550 billion in that bill that's now the law of the land, that that bill should reflect a bipartisan consensus around buying America, about domestic procurement, domestic content standards for all that infrastructure that we're looking forward to now that the bill has been signed. So, to the point, you know, on how Buy America is, it will inform our infrastructure investments going forward. This bill, the II Infrastructure Investment Jobs Act, includes in it a bill, the Build America, Buy America Act. And, you know, you and the policy geeks that, you know, listen to this show like me, you know, can go in and look at this legislation, specifically find the Build America, Buy America piece of it. And it's pretty exciting. Not only that $550 billion in you know, in allocations will be required to have more robust domestic, you know, U.S. Union-made components, but this will actually apply throughout the government for all federally financed infrastructure projects going forward. It's actually a pretty big deal, and we were very happy, and President Hoffman was very happy that the Build America, Buy America legislation was incorporated into the larger infrastructure package. And we're also really happy that, you know, in the Biden administration itself, at the Office of Management and Budget, the new Buy America office, our good friend Celeste Drake, formerly of the AFL-CIO, who directs that office, will be helping all the federal agencies, you know, address deficiencies in their own Buy America programs going forward. It's kind of rationalizing the whole domestic procurement Buy America imperative for the federal government in infrastructure in a way that's not been done really ever. It's very unprecedented. And I'll just add one last thing in this overview is the transparency that this administration is committed to in terms of identifying the waivers to Buy America that have happened in the construction industry, addressing those waivers, rationalizing, making it transparent so that you or I or anybody can go online to the buyamerica.gov and see where the waivers are. And it will help industry and their workers, you know, in the particularly in the building trades, you know, understand where there are opportunities to buy American, to increase domestic procurement. So we're really happy about the package as a whole, the infrastructure package, and we're especially happy about the Buy America provisions that are in it.
So essentially, Mike, with this legislation, we're going to know who's getting a waiver or an exemption. So, and I can only assume that process will be difficult. They're going to have to exhaust all opportunities, make sure they try desperately to buy American. And if they can't buy American, then they can go elsewhere. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yeah, well, absolutely. And of course, this only applies to infrastructure projects that are, you know, federally financed, right? So if you're a state, municipality, and you're taking some federal funds, then these will apply to you. Anything where yours and my federal tax money are going into infrastructure projects, either the $550 billion in this or in general, you know, we will be able to see where those waivers, you know, are being requested, where they're being applied. And let me just make one other point. You know, as our brothers and sisters in, for example, the steel workers or the iron workers already know with respect to traditional Buy American requirements and regulations, the law, this now applies to non-ferrous, right, construction materials. In other words, not just iron, not just steel, but glass and drywall and wood. So now all the components that go into these infrastructure projects will be subject to Buy America laws and regulations. Not just the steel and the iron anymore. Now it's the entire construction project, the entire infrastructure package. And that is a really important build-out as we, you know, undertake Biden's, the Biden administration's, you know, commitment to infrastructure, rebuilding the infrastructure under this bill. It will apply throughout the supply chains, throughout all the components that are you know, part of those projects. It's pretty exciting.
All right, Mike, you said the words supply chain. I want to pick on that. We just have a couple of minutes left here. Are we making any headway here? Because I know the Teamsters have been very, very vocal on this issue. They're saying, oh, well, there's not enough truck drivers and blah, blah, blah. And then we've had other points of view on the show saying, yeah, well, maybe if they weren't independent contractors sitting there not making money, then that would be a game changer. So what are you hearing right now on this issue?
Well, no, and that's exactly right. You know, the Teamsters Union, because, you know, we're at the ports and we're on the rails, the freight rail. Those are our guys and the obviously long haul trucking. Frankly, if anything's coming in or out of this country, Flash, you know, a Teamster is probably touching it. And I even mention all our UPS drivers. So we are North America's supply chain union, frankly. I mean, that's the Teamsters, and that includes our brothers and sisters in Teamsters Canada. We are big stakeholders when we talk about supply chain, its resiliency, and so on. And to your point, therefore, about the trucks, I remember you had Ron Herrera on a month or so ago. I enjoyed that episode very much. And Ron is Brother Herrera's head of our ports division, made the incredibly important point that this misclassification of workers, right, and truck drivers at the ports, right, is making it difficult for those folks to make a living when they're sitting in the long lines and all the rest. We believe, and we've shared our opinion with, you know, the relevant agencies, including the Department of Labor, our good friend Marty Walsh over there, that this misclassification problem, that they're independent contractors, is really a big problem. And the solution is, you know, unionized truck drivers who are making bank or making good wages. That's going to increase the supply of truck drivers in this country, and all this supply chain hysteria will diminish if we treat those truckers well. We treat them the way a generation ago truck drivers could depend on it and have a middle class lifestyle.
Well said, my man. All right, we're going to leave it on that note. Mr. Mike Dolan, on behalf of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, teamster.org is their website. You take care, my friend. Stay safe. Let's talk in the new year, okay?
Yeah, we'll do that, Flash. Happy Thanksgiving, meantime.
All right, that's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the Government Affairs Director of the Labor Federation and Lucas Franco on behalf of LIUNA, Labor's International. Until then, all of you, have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.